your life. It's all right. It's all right. Every time I do it right. It's all right. It's all right. Don't need to watch me die.
The moon is high and we are lunatics now. It's deep in the safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back down a shot of hard liquor and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the river Styx.
Abandon all hope.
Daddy going to give you something to drink now. That's right, I am broadcasting right here from the heart of the Bermuda Triangle in the Asheville studio. We have producer Hardwood Forrest Connor and, of course, investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. Shelley, do you have the new sign up yet at Wright's Coin Shop? Everybody wants to see this thing.
I know, it's not ready yet. Soon. Soon. I would like to see it myself.
And are you sure you're not on this sign, Shelley?
No, I am not on this sign.
Well, I want to formally protest that right now. I say we get a petition going here, we get the community together,
uh-huh.
And they demand that Shelley Wright be on the sign for Wright's Coin Shop.
Well, I guess then somebody's going to have to do a letter-writing campaign or call my daddy, because otherwise it's not looking good for me being on that sign.
Well, okay, well, let it begin then. This is the beginning, this is the origin of the movement, and even if everybody has to donate, you know, $50 or whatever, you know, we'll get that sign with a big colorful picture of Shelley right there holding that bag of money, beckoning you in there with a little kissy face, and it'll be the best investment that your dad will ever make to put you on that sign.
Uh-huh.
Now, on the other hand, it's possible this could backfire, though, because there may be women who say to their husbands, there's no way in hell I'm letting you walk into that store. So, you know, maybe it is best to keep it plain, or, for all I know, your dad's going to be on the sign, right? Maybe he's going to be sitting there going, yeah.
I don't see that happening.
Have you seen the design yet? Do you know what it's going to look like?
I really don't know what it's going to look like. I know it's going to be kind of a monument-type sign, very sturdy, big, but that's it. That's all I know.
I have trouble believing that you haven't seen the design for the sign. I think you're just... You're being coy here. You're teasing us with this, aren't
you? No, I really don't know what it's going to end up looking like. I mean, I saw a couple of different little mock-ups here and there, but I have no idea.
Hmm.
You know how it is. There's that whole process of, okay, here's what we think we'd like, and then, you know, usually the finished product is totally different.
So why should people go to visit Wright's Coin Shop even if you're not on the sign?
Even if I'm not on the sign, because I can help turn your money into more money. I can demystify this whole thing about gold and silver. I can make it easy peasy. I can help you accomplish your goals, put things back for retirement, put things back for a rainy day, help you turn what you have already into money to pay bills because something's happened, something's come up. And we're local. We've been here for 40 years.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people, I think most of the people who listen to this program, they are intelligent, they're open-minded, mm-hmm. and they realize that, historically speaking, there is no reason that you should maintain confidence in the Federal Reserve note that is in your wallet.
No. No, definitely not. And right now, we have so much inventory that they can choose from. We have little 1-ounce silver rounds. We have 10-ounce silver bars. We have silver eagles. We have gold eagles. We have collector coins. We have everything. It's a really great selection. The prices are very, very low right now. The market's down. That's the best time to buy.
And somebody can pretty much, you know, let's just say bare minimum here. Somebody can contact you and say, hey, I got $30.
Mm-hmm.
And they can give you $30 and you'll hand them a beautiful piece of silver. Isn't that right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And also, they may say, hey, I have $1 million I want to spend. And I will say, all right, I can help you out with that. So,
yeah.
Again, no minimums, no maximums. I'm happy to talk to you and help lead you along the way and make it really simple. Because even if you don't buy anything from me, at least you have the knowledge. At least you know what you need to do. And then you get your ducks in a row and you do it.
And I want to tell everybody listening that it brings you enormous satisfaction to know that somewhere in your private stash, wherever that may be, you have a box full of silver and gold coins. And that if you wake up tomorrow and everything's hit the fan, you actually have something sitting there that's tangible, that's real, that's a physical valued product.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that that's always going to be worth something. And if you look at the history of gold and silver, it's probably going to go up ridiculously. You know, because the market fluctuates a little bit day by day, week by week, month by month. But you look at it over a period of years, it just skyrockets. It's amazing what
definitely
happens.
So, definitely. Yeah. And when you look at how much money, how little money you're making in a savings account, you know, just put it back. You know, just a little at a time or a lot at a time, whatever you have the money for, whatever is in your budget each week or each month, just set something aside for yourself for later. And I do think it's going to go up. Even if it goes down a little bit more before it starts going up, that's fine. That you just keep on buying while it's low, while you can still get it, because, you know, the supply part has been kind of difficult lately. So when I say come in because we have stuff to sell, I mean come in now. Because it's not going to last very long. We'll still try and keep, you know, getting things. But right now, you've got a great selection.
So, I was mentioning before, Pete Shepard, our friend in Florida, he's a great web designer. He created WrightsCoinShop.com. WrightsCoinShop.com. That's WRIGHTS, WrightsCoinShop.com. And he also created PuppyFest.com.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody needs a good web designer, just email me and I'll send your info on to Pete. But how else could people contact you if they're not comfortable with the internet, Shelley?
Well, call me. People call me all the time. 828-298-5402. Or come see me at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road, and that's in Asheville.
All right, so folks, be sure to write this down. Now, the shop, Shelley's shop, is not that far from the Biltmore Estate, to give you a reference point, at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. Or call her at area code 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. Now, Shelley, you obviously, you have your own little treasure trove, and we know that, you know, you should be on the sign for the shop because there are so many men out there who would respond to that. I'm wondering, since you're a woman who has so many men who realize that you have a bunch of gold and silver stockpiled, has anybody ever proposed to you? Has a man ever asked for your hand in marriage?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you want to tell us about that at all? How did that go down? What technique or approach did the man use?
Actually, we were doing the show one night, and you remember Dr. Forston was in here. He was your guest, and he found out that I was Wright's Coin Shop, and that's when he said, "You want to get married?"
Wow. So I was expecting, you know, you to tell me something about some, like, crummy guy off the street. But no, you're going straight for the New York Times best-selling author. Yeah, that's true. He did ask
me
on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, here's a story about a proposal that went wrong.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and this comes to us from, get ready for us, Seminole County, Florida. Yeah. Apparently, and I, you know, why do people do these things? I don't know. A 22-year-old man decided that he wanted to propose to his girlfriend naked.
Okay. Oh.
And that, and guys do all kinds of weird things when they want to propose, apparently. But so he sneaks up to the house. He takes off all his clothes on the back patio. And then, according to the news story, he forced his way into the home. Well, of course, it's a surprise. And he started singing rap songs in a loud voice.
Oh, that yeah. That's like, really romantic.
I guess there was some little, you know, effervescent romantic element between them and rap music. Problem is, he was in the wrong house.
How can you be in the wrong house? What, you just drop her off on the corner after your date? Bye, honey.
So the homeowners, all they see is a naked man suddenly appear in their house singing rap.
God, this is so wrong.
They called the police. And once the police arrived, the guy, it says here, fought with them when they asked him to put his clothes on and refused to leave till his girlfriend, whom he was certain was in this home for whatever reason, agreed to marry him. Okay, so this guy was not thinking clearly.
No, right? No.
So you know what the police did?
What?
They shocked him with a stun gun, okay? So they shocked his naked ass with a stun gun, and they charged him with burglary of a dwelling. I don't know how that exactly worked in the law there. Battery on... Huh?
Because he broke in. Because he forced his way in, I guess.
I guess.
And they charged battery him with half a million volts, too.
Ew.
Yeah. Battery on a law enforcement officer and indecent exposure. And he's in jail right now on a little pricey bond.
Well, did he ever find his girlfriend?
Not according to this story. But hopefully she has reconsidered. Maybe her response would have been better than it would be now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I have a story from California here, and it involves these elements. It involves prisoners, werewolves, and porn.
Good one.
Yeah. I'll be happy to tell you all about it when we return. It's the program where the Dark 30 Hour gives you the more outrageous and controversial material. We call this show Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we'll be right back.
Yes, the dark
is the hour of the show when you should turn off the radio. If you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. Okay, that's why we save it for late at night. Not everything is like that, but a lot of it is. So tune in next hour for something more family-friendly, perhaps. This is the show that explores the summit of mankind's enlightenment and the pit of his depravity, and we are on the downslope at this point, believe me. And I am broadcasting from the Bermuda Triangle. We have producer Forrest Conner in the studio. We have investigator Shelley Wright in the studio in Asheville, North Carolina. And this next story that I have here is from California, and it's about people in prison. By the way, you know, amazingly enough, we were contacted recently by a guy who was in a legal situation and was afraid he was going to go to jail, and he bought one of our wishing machines. And we thought, well, this is going to be a good test because he needed something to happen in like 2 or 3 days. He bought a wishing machine, and guess what? He got out of it very cleanly and smoothly. If you don't know what a wishing machine is, go to joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com and just check out the wishing machine. There's a little video you can watch there, and maybe it'll work for you. This guy in California, well, yeah, I bet he wished that he had a wishing machine. A wish for a wish for a wish. But very weird. Apparently, the First District Court of Appeals there has upheld this prisoner's right to, quote, read as much werewolf erotica as he wants, end quote. What?
Werewolf erotica?
I was hoping you might have some insight on this, Shelley.
Very, very hairy.
That is insightful. This man is serving time for attempted murder and robbery at Pelican Bay State Prison, and his proclivity is to read some books by an author known as Matilda Madden, and I've never heard of this, but it says this is like how they describe the book. Every full moon, Iris kills werewolves. It's what she's good at, what she's trained for. She never imagined doing anything else until she falls in love with one. And being a professional werewolf hunter and dating a werewolf poses a serious conflict of interest, all right, et cetera, et cetera. So they go on here to say, there are a number of graphic sexual encounters,
yes.
one per chapter through most of the book, including detailed descriptions of intercourse, sodomy, some things I can't even say. I'm not even going to go there. Voyeurism, exhibitionism, menage a trois, bodily fluids are mentioned. So they tried to take this away from this prisoner, but the court apparently has upheld his right to read it. And so he gets to sit there and, well, we can imagine what happens when he reads this sort of thing. So you've never read werewolf erotica, Shelley?
No, I haven't.
I know you've done some vampire erotica, right?
I've seen a couple of things, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And well, werewolves and vampires, they're kind of related. I think that sometimes if you kill a werewolf, they can come back as a vampire, so.
No, I've never heard that.
Really?
No.
I think you're wrong there, Warren.
Okay, look it up.
You're look it up. Making it up.
Yeah, I've got resources here. I'm a professional.
Yeah.
Next story. I've never heard of this one. I've done my share of drinking alcohol, but have you guys ever heard of smoking alcohol?
No.
Yeah, they say people are getting very creative. It's something that is called smoking alcohol. It says that basically they can pour alcohol over dry ice and inhale it directly or with a straw, or make a vaporizing kit using bike pumps. Now, this is very popular among teenagers, apparently. The alcohol of choice is poured into a bottle, the bottle is corked, and the bicycle pump needle is poked through the top of the cork. Air is pumped into the bottle to vaporize the alcohol, and then the user inhales. And they say that a lot of people who are afraid of gaining weight but want to get a little, you know, screwed up will do this because you can get the effects of alcohol without gaining the weight from the empty calories. But they're saying this is horrible for you on so many different levels. Is it worse than just drinking alcohol? I don't know. But that's what the little people, the young people are doing now. Those wascally kids, right?
Man.
See how old we're getting, guys? We don't do that sort of thing.
No, I'd rather drink it.
Yeah. Hey, let's move to some stories about feces. That sounds like fun. Here's a story from Spain. They say that there's a program going on in Spain where if you walk your dog and your dog takes a crap on the street, that there's a team of people who are observing, and they will go and scoop that up and mail it to you at your house. They'll mail you your dog crap.
On that taxpayer's dime.
Probably. And they say they did 147 of these in just 1 week, and that it's working. There's been a 70% drop in the amount of dog poop on the streets.
Couldn't they just go up to the person whose dog is going right there and, you know, maybe say, please be kind and you know, take it with you or find them or something?
Yeah, I guess it's possible, but, you know, who wants to be nice anymore, right?
Mm.
Who wants to be cordial? Here's a story about some cops crapping themselves. This is from Iowa. A suspicious package that all the cops thought was a bomb was dropped in downtown Iowa City for several hours last Sunday. And so these officials, they got all their bomb gear on, and they're like creeping up to this package. And there's a guy standing on the sidewalk watching all this, and he decides this is a funny time to throw a firecracker over there.
Ooh. Oh, God.
A little prank. Yeah. 32-year-old man accused of throwing a, quote, silver bomb cracker, end quote, while these guys are up there, you know, on the edge of their nerves. And the guy admitted that he'd been drinking, but he refused a blood alcohol test, and so they arrested him and found even more little firecrackers in his pocket. Wow.
Did they not beat the crap out of that guy? I would have.
Yeah, they crapped and then he crapped.
Oh.
Yeah, that makes sense. Wow. Here's a story from Salem, Massachusetts. Here we go, folks. You know, again, it's like, tune out. This is, you know, I'm giving you a warning. All the stories we're reading this hour, they're not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, all right? Police there arrested a technician at a Ford dealership because they caught him masturbating in a customer's vehicle.
Ooh.
And the headline literally says your carjacking takes on a new definition.
I wouldn't want my car back.
The 44-year-old man was arrested and charged with two misdemeanor counts of indecent exposure. He was sitting in a black Hyundai Sonata. And he was just right in front of the business, and somebody actually called the cops, and they found him red-handed, and he quickly zipped up his pants. They escorted him off, and, well, that was Salem, Massachusetts. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have a story from Mexico here about the naked cyclist. That's always fun. And then here's one from Chicago that's really bizarre. And then wait till you hear what a woman in Oregon had stolen from her car trunk. She had some junk in the trunk, we'll put it that way. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the Dark 30 Hour. That's when we dig into some more outrageous and crazy stuff. And this show is called Speaking of Strange.
Hey, everybody, get up.
When we talk about some of the more outrageous and controversial stuff, often more sordid and seedy, and not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So just tune out if you have a connection to those scenarios, and tune back in top of the next hour for some other type of programming. But I tell you something that is family friendly, and that is the Puppy Fest coming up this September. September the 28th, it's not too late right now for you to get involved. Go to puppyfest.com for the information at the Asheville Civic Center, that is U.S. Cellular Center. You can come enjoy all the puppies. You can be a vendor for $125. We'll give you the hookup, plenty of advertising, and we're going to have a great panel of judges working, and it's just going to be an extremely fun, crazy event. So go to puppyfest.com and check it out. Here's a story from Chicago, Illinois. They've had a problem there with teen pregnancy, and so there is this new ad campaign that has been produced by the Chicago Department of Public Health to try to get kids and their parents talking about teen pregnancy and how to prevent it. And some people are very uncomfortable with this. They are putting ads all over the place that show pregnant teen boys. Okay. So I've not seen these, but I can imagine. So they're showing boys that look like they're pregnant. And these ads are on public transit buses, trains, platforms, bus shelters. And I think what they're trying to do is to take a lot of the teen pregnancy emphasis off of just the females and remind people that it affects the males as well. But to have an ad campaign like this is just weird for a lot of people, and that's why there's some controversy. How do you feel about that, Shelley Wright?
It is pretty weird. I don't think that they're really... I don't think their ad campaign's going to work.
You don't think it's going to raise awareness of the role and responsibility that young men have in this two-to-tango scenario?
No. I don't think so.
It's pretty bizarre. Forrest, you remember Virato, right?
Yes, Swami Virato.
Swami Virato. He was in Talking Tall. He died this year. And, best I recall, Swami Virato, he used to go out and participate in the naked bicycle riding. Didn't he do that?
Does
that ring a bell? Yeah.
He, and
it's funny because, you know, often it's the people you don't want to see naked who like to get naked the most.
Oh, it's always that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure why that is exactly.
I don't know, but I don't want to see just anybody with dangly bits.
Well, you know, riding a bicycle as a man with your clothes on is hard enough on your sensitive parts.
Mm.
By the way, let me just, as a side note here, ask you a question. I'll ask both of you. We'll start with Forrest, because Forrest, you and I are old trivia rivals.
Right.
So let me ask you this. Why is it that a male bicycle has the horizontal crossbar, and it is dropped down on the female bicycle? And don't look it up.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't.
Really?
I have asked that question before.
Okay. Well, see, I stumped you. I won. I beat you on this one.
Yes, you did.
All right, Shelley, what do you think? Do you have an answer?
I don't know.
Because you would think the male bicycle would be dropped down a little bit more also, for obvious reasons.
Well, yeah, you'd almost think it should be the opposite, right?
Right.
Because, yeah. Well, here's the reason. This is one of those little pieces of trivia that for some reason stuck in my head all these years. When bicycles were originally invented, all the women wore skirts. And therefore, they lowered the bar so that the skirts could drape down. And otherwise, you know, it would be improper. You would see a little too much leg and who knows what else.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. So it had to do with the attire of the day, wearing dresses and skirts.
Okay. Makes sense to me.
Now you know.
Yes. And no one's half the battle.
G.I. Joe. Bill American Hero. All right. So Mexico City, they just had a big naked cyclist deal there. They say thousands of people were riding through Mexico City for the World Naked Bike Ride. And of course, they do this to raise awareness of the importance of cycling for exercise and as a way to reduce fossil fuels. Sure, okay.
Without reducing chafing.
They say riding naked also highlights the fragility of the human body and the need for drivers to be more careful on busy city streets. Boy, the crap these people come up with.
You know, I'm thinking the same thing.
any excuse to get naked and make it sound honorable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, for me personally, I don't care. If you want to ride your bicycle naked, it doesn't bother me a bit. But let's not pretend we're all high and mighty when we do it, right?
Exactly.
Okay, next story comes to us from Sandy, Oregon. They say, if the lady feels a little touchy, it's understandable. A woman had her sedan parked in front of her home there. Somebody popped open the trunk and stole what was in the trunk, and that was $500 worth of sex toys.
Oh.
Yeah, sex toys. Now, Shelley, do you think you own $500 worth of sex toys?
No.
Okay, well, what value would you insure yours? Let's say this is Antiques Roadshow. And
Silly boy, I'm not going to touch that question.
You don't have the golden whatever?
Moving on.
Did the
person that took all of these sex toys, did they, I hope they were brand new and unused.
Forrest, did you hear how quickly she changed the subject?
I did. I mean,
most of the time she's sitting there, you know, searching for what to say. She jumped right in on that one, didn't she, to take us in a different direction?
She did.
What do you think, Forrest? Do you think there's the value that... Okay, well, look, never mind. Let's just get back to the story, shall we? The lady was one of five... one of five victims in her neighborhood. But she's especially hot and bothered because she'd been building up this kinky collection for months for an upcoming bachelorette party. Even worse than losing the stolen items was having to tell investigators about the collection, she said included, quote, lots of toys, blow-up items, all kinds of goodies. She said it was horrible. The officer started laughing, but he felt so bad. He asked me to describe everything in detail. It was just horrible. I've been storing it in my trunk because I have two little ones. I didn't want them to see all the dirty things in there.
Two little what?
I feel sorry for her.
Well, yeah. You know, but then she contacts the media, and she has to tell the media the story all over again, and now we're laughing at her and talking about her.
Well, maybe it was the cops that contacted the media because it was so funny for them.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's see. Next story from Texas. This is amazing. Okay. Texas has said it's okay to shoot a hooker if she won't have sex with you.
What? No way! No!
Texas is such a great state, huh? A jury in Bexar County, Texas, just acquitted a man of charges that he murdered a 23-year-old Craigslist escort because he was attempting to retrieve the $150 he'd paid her when she wouldn't have sex with him. He admitted he shot her in the neck. Apparently, the law says that you could use deadly force to recover property during a nighttime theft. So that means that even though he hired her illegally, because that she didn't give him what he was supposed to get, he was able to legitimately defend his property and shoot her and kill her.
Services were not rendered, so I guess it is a theft.
Everything's a little different in Texas. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the stuff I've saved for the last part of the show. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Is the Dark 30 Hour. Let me remind you, It's the part of the show that is not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. And therefore, you should tune out if you are connected to those scenarios, and tune back in here shortly in about 5 minutes or so, and things will be moved on to some new programming. But it is our duty here late at night to tell you about some of the crazier stories that we've seen in the news as of late. And I say we start here with Chicago, Illinois. Not the first story we've read tonight from Chicago. Listen to this. A Chicago man was taking a tour of an animal shelter. Oh, gosh. At one point, he sneaked away and was caught in a restricted area. He was caught by an employee. My goodness. They found him on all fours inside of an animal cage with a pit bull. And I think you can imagine what was happening there. Yeah. I see these stories where guys do this stuff with dogs, and it's sick enough. But over and over again, it's a pit bull, which just seems like the most unlikely of breeds. But how am I supposed to make sense of that? That's from Chicago. Next story comes to us from, here we go, Forrest, Palm Bay, Florida. A 30-year-old man in Palm Bay was arrested there because he got into a fight with his pregnant wife in their car, and somehow, I'm not sure how this fight physically sort of progressed, but she tried to get out of the car, and her husband was pulling her back in, and finally he bit her on the buttocks. Okay. And when police got there, she was able to prove what had happened because his teeth marks were on her behind. So I know some of you women out there, you might say, bite my butt once in a while. Well, you better be.
You don't really mean it.
Well, Josh, I know stories that your mom might have told that you might have been in a similar situation at one time.
Oh, I've bitten some butts.
Maybe you like your sister?
Oh, I've probably bitten my sister's butt.
Told me one time that you actually bit your sister. I'm not sure where, but she actually matched up your teeth marks with her bite.
Oh, my God.
Well, if my mom says it, it has to be true.
Of course. Your mom is awesome.
Yes. Well, I don't recall ever biting my sister's butt, but if so, apparently I am not the first or the last man to ever bite a woman on the behind.
Well, I'm not saying it was the butt. I'm just saying that somewhere on her body you bit her.
I don't know, but I know that Ted Bundy, you know, his teeth marks were relevant in his trial, so you got to be careful about that. If you're going to bite somebody, you know, you better be careful. They can use that against you. And now the last story comes to us from Newark, Delaware. And here's the headline, folks. The headline is, Delaware patient sues over 8-month erection.
What?
A truck driver lived with an erection that lasted about 8 months, the result of a botched surgical procedure. Apparently, we won't get into details here, but something went wrong, and he talked about how that he could never get this thing to go down. He could never tame the wild beast, and he said it was awful, that wherever he went, it was embarrassing. It caused problems with all transportation, and he said, quote, I could hardly dance without poking my partner. Guess he was doing the hokey pokey. Well, I think that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. So next time we'll be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter. And tune in next week for a brand new one. You are commanded!